and welcome to the call. I'd like to give you a little information about how the call will work, and then we'll get started. I'd appreciate it if everyone would kindly hit the 6 button if you're not already muted, and that will mute all the background noises. That's everyone, of course, except their guests. Hello, Kathleen.
I am here. Can you hear me?
I can, and I'm hearing that same noise again. Do you hear that?
I am, too.
Do you think it's your phone?
No, I don't think it's my phone. I think it might be a cell phone. And
Okay, maybe when everybody mutes, hopefully it won't happen, because
yeah.
I tried calling in from another phone, so it's definitely not my phone.
Okay.
All right. So let's just get back on track here. All right, the format for the call is simply that I will interview Kathleen, who's our guest today, and then when we're finished the interview, I'll open the line for questions. So for those of you who don't know me, I am Dotsie Bregel, and I'm founder of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women and BoomerWomenSpeak.com, which can be, both are the number one sites on major search engines for baby boomer women. I am passionate about educating and empowering women, and our sites are proudly sponsored by Dolans.com. So if you're interested in excellent financial information that will encourage you to live a more financially responsible midlife, we recommend that you visit them at Dolans.com. And we're also sponsored now by Elations, which is a daily drink supplement that offers relief for joint aches and pains, and that can be found at Elations.com. Okay, let's see. If you're not a member of the NABBW, the fee to join is typically $75, but if you're on the call and you'd like to join, you can email me at dots@nabbw.com, and I will send you a link to join for $60. Just let me know you were on the call today, and I'd be happy to do that. Okay, this is actually the third in our series of midlife entrepreneurs launching boomer businesses. And today we're speaking with Kathleen Gage, and the topic is the truth about making money on the internet. And I know we have a lot of members who are interested in that because they have books or products or services. Many have websites and are just interested in hearing how they can kick things up a little bit. If you're interested in the topic of midlife entrepreneurs, you can also learn more by looking at the articles that we have that are written by Jennifer Kalita, who is our entrepreneur expert at the NABBW. So don't forget to look through those articles, too. And if you missed the first two in this series and you're a member, you will have links to them in your upcoming updates. And if you're not a member and you're interested, please contact us and we can let you know how to go about hearing those first two, which were about creating a vision for your business, and then the second one was about marketing your business. Okay, Kathleen, let me tell you a little bit about Kathleen. Kathleen, you're there. Do you want to give us your web address right up front?
I would love to. Okay. There's actually two addresses that I'd like to give you. One is Street Smarts, and that's plural, streetsmartsmarketing.com. Mm-hmm. And you can also go to my blog, which is The Marketing Mindset. And there's a third one, KathleenGage.com. But the first two, streetsmartsmarketing.com and The Marketing Mindset, are all about Internet marketing.
Okay, great, because I didn't have any web addresses in your bio, so I wanted to make sure we did that now, and then we'll do it again a couple times.
Okay, great.
Okay,
thank you.
Sure. Kathleen's an internationally recognized internet marketing expert who works with spiritually minded speakers, trainers, authors, and consultants who want to turn their knowledge into money-making products and services. And she's known for her unique and creative approach to helping others understand the power of beliefs, thoughts, and actions that promote the marketing mindset and create a successful life. As a best-selling success author, she is a highly sought-after expert guest on radio programs and teleseminars, and she has been a corporate trainer and keynote presenter for conferences and conventions for nearly 15 years. So very quickly, I'll finish up her bio, and then we'll get started. After the last 25 years, Kathleen has received numerous business awards, including the 1995, 96, and 99, 2000 National Speakers Association Utah Chapter Speaker of the Year, and the 1999-2000 Salt Lake Chamber of Commerce Businesswomen's Forum Achievement Award for Business Innovation, the Leadership and Communications 2000 Award for Toastmasters International, and the Giant Step Award for 2004 from the Utah Department of Workforce Services for Business Innovation and Success. So you're in for a treat when by having her on the call today, because she's an excellent speaker. She's also contributed marketing, promotions, and sales articles to hundreds of online and offline business publications, and has also hosted a weekly talk radio broadcast. She has hundreds of books, e-products, teleseminars, and interviews to her credit. Her four hard copy books are 101 Ways to Get Your Foot in the Door, and it's a message of hope, inspirational thoughts for uncertain times, and workplace miracles, inspiring stories and thoughts of possibility, and her best-selling book, which is The Law of Achievement. She's also the author of her signature series, Street Smarts Marketing and Productions, and Promotions, I'm sorry. So, Kathleen, let's get started. Do you have anything you want to add to that?
Alrighty.
You have anything you
want
to add?
Well, you know, I was listening to your introduction about Elations being one of the sponsors, and it made me smile because I thought, wow, how things have changed in what I have an interest in my 50s compared to my 20s. In my 20s, I never would have thought that I needed joint drinks. So.
isn't it the truth?
But well, you know, and it really, it is, and it makes me realize how much things do change in that. Really, in order to keep up with our businesses, we have to be willing to change and be flexible. So maybe that drink will help us to be flexible in our body and in our mind. So
yeah,
that's really
what
we're going to talk about today. Yeah. And
good.
It's great to be here. And I always hope my mother will hear that intro because, you know, my mother, every time she's been to a presentation of mine when I used to do a lot of platform presentations, it was always a thrill to have her in the audience. So one of these days I'll have to get her on a teleconference.
Oh, you should, and it would be such an easy thing for her to do, and you're just so blessed to still have your mom with you, because I'm sure many women on the call don't.
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make another announcement that if you didn't push the 6 button to mute any background noise, I'd love for you to do that now. Okay, so let's get started talking about how to make money on the Internet. Can you tell us what we need to know to develop websites that are customer magnets and money-making machines? And if you can tell us.
I would be happy to.
Great. Go ahead.
The first thing that you need to do is know who your market is. And I think that's an area that oftentimes people who, regardless of the amount of time they've been in business, they don't profile who their ideal client is, if you will. And I'm a real subscriber to the law of attraction, and realizing that I have to have a clear vision of what I want, and then I have to be able to take the action behind the attraction. And so the first area that I recommend that people start with is identifying their market. And when you said that I work with speakers, trainers, authors, and consultants who want to turn their knowledge into money-making products and services, that's a very clearly defined market. And I've recently just changed it to, instead of who want to, who are ready to. Because there's a difference between wanting and being ready. So for me, in identifying my market, everything that I do in my marketing, whether it be my website, whether it be my blog, whether it be a resource box that I put it at the end of an article, the teleseminars that I do, I can actually be very clear on how I word what it is I do, so those people that resonate with it will know that I could be a solution for them. And the one thing that you want to do on your website and your blog is have a way for people to leave their contact information. And it never ceases to amaze me the number of people who have a great-looking website. They're experts in what they do, and they have no way for people to leave them contact information so they can do what's called back-end marketing. So you want to set your site up in a way that when people visit it, they immediately identify with it, and they say, oh, that's for me, or, oh, that's not for me. Once they identify that it's for them, what is something that you could give them that would be very high value that they would be willing to give you their name and email address in return for? And one thing that I give away is an ebook called The Truth About Making Money on the Internet. It's a 200-page document. extremely content-filled. And I've had people say, why are you giving this away? You could sell this. And yes, I could. And it's better for me to give it away because one thing I do is I create value, immediately create value. I establish credibility. I establish my expert status. And I build trust with my potential market.
Okay, so basically when you're doing these websites and developing, or whether you have one already or you're developing one, you really need to take a look, make sure that your market is clear by reading the message, make sure it's worded properly, and make sure you have a way to communicate. The people
yes.
who visit have a way to communicate.
That's in a nutshell, and
right.
what I would also recommend that instead of us looking at our own website, have people in our market look at it and determine if we're being clear on the message. Because what amuses me with things I've done and I see people do consistently is we'll put something up in a marketing message. We read it. We understand it. And then somebody will say, well, this doesn't make sense, and we explain it to them. Well, the reality is when somebody hits your website, they hit your blog, they look at any piece of your marketing process, if they can't immediately answer their own question of what's in it for me and who are you really targeting, you're not going to have that opportunity to explain it to them, because your site can literally be seen by millions of people if you know how to position it correctly. And I'd say more realistically for most of the people on this call, myself included, would be hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, and possibly hundreds of thousands of people that will visit our websites and our blogs.
I totally agree. Okay, how about sharing with us how to keep our names fresh in our prospect and customers' minds with the right systems? And if you can talk about
okay.
the systems a little bit.
Sure. I'd be glad to. Basically, a business needs to be run on systems. And oftentimes what happens with solopreneurs or one- and two-person size companies is we fly by the seat of our pants. I've been guilty of it in the past, and what I found was when I was flying by the seat of my pants and I didn't have specific systems in place of how I was going to market, how I was going to deliver my products and services, how I was going to do back-end marketing, it was much harder to increase my revenues or even make revenues that really paid the bills. Well, now I have very, very specific systems in place, and I definitely more than pay the bills today because of the fact that by automating my processes, I can focus on things that are more conducive to getting more market reach. So some of the systems that you want to look at would be, do you have a way to capture people's contact information? In other words, do you have a good database program? Do you have a shopping cart? The one that I use is Kickstart, and it's actually it's been rebranded from One Shopping Cart. I really like the functionality, and it allows me to put great systems in place. For example, if somebody downloads an ebook, I automatically have a message sent out to them. These messages have been programmed in for a period of, depending on what they're downloading, it could be a period of a week, it could be a period of 2 or 3 months, it could be 6 months, it could be a year down the road. I have some of my autoresponders actually have messages programmed in for the next year when somebody signs up. That's a part of my system. Once that's done, I don't have to worry about it. I know that when people opt in for something, that they're going to see my name once a week or twice a month or whatever it may be that I've programmed it in for, that I don't even have to worry about it unless I want to go in and change the messages. But it makes it much easier. Another thing would be part of your systems is, when are you doing your books? When are you actually giving your books, your months in to your accountant or your CPA? This is something where I see a lot of people fall down is they try to do everything. They try to be all things in their business. And one of the things you'll find is, as you grow your business, you have to delegate certain responsibilities to other people. For example, in my business, we have a CPA that we outsource our books to. We have an editor for most of my e-products and my books that I use this editor for. I have a transcriber. I have somebody that does the back-end work on my blogs. I actually just hired somebody about a week ago who is doing a phenomenal job and will get me a lot further in my business than I could get myself, because I'm an expert in marketing and positioning. I'm not an expert in the technical stuff that goes on in my business. That's another part of your systems. If you're not an expert at something and you don't have the time or the patience to learn something, you might want to consider outsourcing it, because many times by outsourcing, you free up your time to do, again, those things that you're more qualified to do or you should be doing in your business. And it could be making the sales in your business. So your systems, again, go back to how is your website set up, how is your blog set up, what is your response time with people, what is the process of people getting information from you, what are you doing in your business to keep your name in front of people. What I do is I actually have a system for radio interviews that I do. I have a system for teleseminars that I do. And I have a system that I know every month I'm going to be taking a proactive approach to X number of whatever it is I'm doing to market. So it's really about laying out a plan and following the plan, but not being so attached to it that when something changes that you're not flexible enough to change.
Sure, and you said a lot. It's all very good information. And
thank you.
I'd also just like to share that when you talk about the systems and hiring people, I recall a long time ago when I launched the site and I listened to a teleseminar like this, and I heard this advice, and I go, oh, you know, how can I afford to do that? But honestly, it's really, how can you, you really can't afford not to do it, because what happens is the more people that you hire to help you do the tasks that you aren't proficient at, it allows you the time to market your business and be the person that is, you know, out there making the connections, and then
exactly,
you know, and then the people that work for you are doing the things that you don't do that well, but you know how to organize and manage. So,
well, and that's the thing. For me, I know what needs to be done. I don't necessarily know how to do it. My business partner does all of our web design and a lot of the blog design, and then I have this other woman who does the back end stuff on the web design, and I don't know the technical side of it, but I certainly know what I need because I've studied it and I've spent a lot of time, a lot of money in learning how to do these things. This is another thing that I think needs to be a part of people's systems, is the training that they get and the training they're willing to invest in. Never ceases to amaze me when people are trying to sell their products or services, and they want people to pay for their products or services, but they hold a real tight purse string when it comes to investing in their own business growth and in mentorship. And, you know, with some mentors, I have a client actually that talks a lot about mentorship, and he says, you know, some mentors, you're not going to have to pay. They're just going to mentor you because that's what they do. With other mentors, you actually have to pay them to get the knowledge that you need. And the thing that's really important, and I had to learn this because I remember when I first started my business, I wanted to borrow $100,000. Now, why I came up with that amount is beyond me. But I thought, okay, if I have $100,000 to do my business, then I'm going to be successful. And my partner said, well, what are you going to do with that $100,000? And it's like, I don't really know. And it was more out of fear that I wanted to borrow that money than it was having a reason. It was like, okay, it's a comfort zone for me. It's a security blanket. And what I actually learned to do in my business was to actually generate revenues in a way that I didn't have to go in debt. My business is not in debt at all. I'm completely in the black. And I say that more to let people know that you don't need to go into great debt, but you do need to be creative in the way that you invest your money. And you have to look at what your return on investment is. Mm-hmm. I think that many times people either don't invest enough or they keep throwing money after a solution. And this is another thing that kind of boggles me, when people keep buying program after program after program and they don't use the information they've learned. I have mentored a lot of people, and I've had some people who have become superstars in what they're doing within their industry. And the reason being is they're willing to apply the information. I've had other people who, they'll buy a four-week mentoring course from me, and they read the information, they show up for the teleseminars, then they do nothing. And then they'll go buy somebody else's program, and they'll do nothing. Buy another one, do nothing. And then they say, well, this stuff doesn't work. And it's not that it's not working, it's that they're not working it.
That's right, and they're just not following through. But a perfect example that I'll share about my business was, I knew I needed to get sponsors, but I really didn't know how to go about putting together a sponsorship proposal, and I knew it was worth my while to be coached to do that, and then to be able to take that proposal and market it. And it was, you know, while it was money up front and I had to pay to be coached, it was, I mean, the return on investment was huge because, you know, then I had this sponsorship proposal that is very well done and that I feel most comfortable sending to big corporations. And had I tried to do it on my own, forget it. It just wouldn't have happened because I didn't have the know-how. So I totally agree, Kathleen. Okay, let's see if we can move on to another one. Another question about gaining massive name recognition within a specific target market.
Okay, the first thing would be, again, it would be to identify your market, first of all, so that you can be very laser beam approached, targeted in the way you go after that name recognition. It's not only knowing who your market is, it's knowing what your expertise is. And I was actually talking with a client earlier today who, she has a voice in her head that I think we all have similar voices that will tell us stories. And the story is, oh, you really don't know what you're doing. You're really not an expert. You know, what will people think if they find out that maybe you're not as good as you think you are? And this is the voice of sabotage. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to, first of all, address any stories that we tell ourselves that are there to sabotage us or hold us back. Once you do that, once you identify your market, your area of expertise, the ways that you can get massive name recognition is to be, again, very targeted in your approach with submitting articles online. I have hundreds upon hundreds of articles online, and if anybody does a Google search on my name, the way to do a Google search on somebody's name to find out how visible they are on the internet, you put quotation marks around their name, you put it in Google, and it'll bring up a certain number of locations that they are posted on the internet. And I think the last time I looked, I was at about 40 or 45,000. That those are the number of times that my name is out there on different websites, different blogs, articles, and things of that nature. So what you want to do is you want to have a system around submitting articles, because articles serve a number of purposes. One is they establish your credibility if they're well written. Two is they give you search engine optimization. And another thing is they help your market to find you and to identify you. So one way is article submission. Another way that is actually so easy but it takes time is web radio. There are so many web radio programs that you could actually contact the host of who are looking for experts within certain industries. And one thing that I hear from people is that, well, it's easy for you because you're an internet marketer. And I will tell you, I have probably one of the most competitive industries out of virtually any of them because so many people are internet marketers, supposedly. Some have very good experience, others don't. But I have to position myself within my industry to stand out. And the way I do that, again, is with articles, interviews on the radio, information products, writing books is another way that you can get massive name recognition if you market your book. A way to market your book would be through media releases, being a guest on teleseminars like this, doing joint venture campaigns. If somebody has a book launch they're doing, they oftentimes will look for people to offer bonus gifts. And if you have a valuable gift that you can contribute to their campaign and you have a list that you can market their book to, oftentimes you will get invited into these opportunities. Now, the thing to keep in mind, and this really goes back to delegating resources too, or delegating tasks to different people that you're going to pay for, is you go in degrees. If you have a long-term plan for your business, you will notice that if you're consistent, there comes a point where there's exponential growth, and before you know it, people start coming to you rather than you having to go to them. And not to sound boastful or anything, but there's not a day that goes by that I don't have at least 1, 2, 3, 5 people contact me about a joint venture campaign, about an interview, about being on a teleseminar, and I actually turn down about 95% of those opportunities. There was a day that I was knocking on doors. I was out there saying, can I please be on your show? And until I established my expert status and I actually had a unique selling proposition within my industry and within my market, it wasn't as easy as it is today. And it's not that I don't work. I work very, very hard in my business, but it's much easier today and it's more profitable today than it was in the past. And I've had my business for 15 years, so it's not like I started it 6 months ago. I've been building one success on top of another, and I've had plenty of blunders. Believe me, I've made more mistakes than I would care to admit, but I think it's the mistakes that allow us to move to the next level of our success.
Sure, and we'll talk about those mistakes in a minute. But one thing that I think is really important, because a lot of people think that you can launch a website and start making money immediately. And you mentioned, Kathleen, that you have grown this baby. And it took a lot of hard work on your part before you were hiring people, and now it takes work on your part to manage those people that you've hired. And that's important that people know that it is a process. It's not something that happens overnight. You really have to get into the nitty-gritty of doing things like submitting articles, contacting people one-on-one as you come across their websites, use search engines to find other people that you can partner with or that are in your market, and you just have to, like, knock on doors, but instead you're just, sending emails. And I would have to
exactly.
Say, yeah, and I'd say that I recall when I launched Boomer Women Speak, I did a lot of one-on-one emails, and but I've got to tell you, everybody that I approached responded, and really responded in a very nice way. And it's rare that if you're looking to work the internet and build your business online, it's very rare that you're going to find people who are unkind or who don't answer. Haven't you found that?
I have, and I found that the people that are truly more professional and those that are comfortable in their own skin and they're comfortable with who they are tend to be nicer. Mm-hmm. It's the ones that live in a space of lack mentality. And, I have a real belief that there's a lot to go around and that
Absolutely.
By partnering people, we can actually expand our reach. And there are some people who live in this place of, oh, there's only enough to go around. And they actually, on one level, they want to build their business. And on another level, they're always talking themselves out of it. Recently, I had a conversation with my sister who happens to have a teddy bear store, and there was a day that her business was all brick and mortar. Well, today she sells most of her teddy bears and her gifts and specialty items on eBay. And she came over for dinner one evening, and she was talking about the economy, and she goes, oh, the economy is so tough right now. And I said, what? And she goes, and I had just had my best month ever. I had a great month. And she said, oh, yeah, it's bad. And I said, who told you? And she goes, don't you watch the news? And I said, well, actually, I don't. I don't spend a lot of time in front of the TV listening to the media that tries to convince me that things are really doom and gloom. Now, I'm not somebody who lives with my head in the clouds, but mm-hmm. I also know that there's something that happens when we surround ourselves with very positive people and very successful people, and also with the negative stuff that goes on. So I think it's really important to look at how we spend our time, and that's key to success in our business. What I find for me, now, there were periods in my business that I wondered how I was going to pay the bills. I honest to goodness, there were days that I cried and I said, when is this ever going to turn around? And when it started turning around was when I was willing to put my plan together, when I was willing to put systems together, and when I was willing to take different risks and different steps. 9/11 was a real turning point for my business. At that time, I was a professional speaker, did corporate training, did keynote engagements, and after 9/11, a lot of that actually got cut. And so that was during the period that I actually started developing information products. And I created a model from other people that I learned from of hosting free seminars, live platform events, where I would invite people to these seminars on how to market a business, and back of the room I would sell my information products. I remember the first one I did, I put a lot of time into developing my first signature product and had about 200 people who showed up to a free event. I sold that day $7,000 worth of information products, and I went, wow, there's something to this. Let's see if it was just by a fluke I did that or if I can do it again. Had another one, and I sold about $7,000 or $8,000 the next time. And I thought, there's something to this giving free information away and creating the value and then selling on the back end. And I've taken that model, and I actually use it in my business now by hosting teleseminars, doing interviews, putting the articles out there. Basically, you're a resource before you're a vendor.
Right, absolutely. Well, Kathleen, can you tell us a little bit about how to avoid the costly mistakes?
One is to notice what the successful people are doing, mm-hmm. and if you will, to model after what they're doing without copying it, but to even go to them and say, okay, what do I need to do differently so that I don't make the same mistakes that you made in your business? And I actually have a six-month mentoring course where it's very intensive. I only take 10 people into the course for the six-month period, and they invest a substantial amount of money for me to mentor them to the next level of their business. And the one thing that appeals to the people that go into this course is they're going to cut their learning curve by probably 80% of the time they would have invested on their own, and they're not going to make a lot of the same mistakes that I made, because I made those mistakes so I can teach people how not to. But some of the mistakes that I made was not being willing to invest in my business soon enough. It was like trying to do everything, kind of what we were talking about earlier.
Right.
And also being very strategic in the way that I invested in my business. Before I take somebody on board as a consultant or a vendor, I want to make sure that I know why I'm bringing them on board, and I want to know what is my investment going to give me as a return. And it's not always a dollar return. It might be that I free up time to actually spend time with my pets and my family. It might be I'm freeing up time so that I don't have to work on the weekends, because there was a period where I was working 24/7. I mean, I would work 16, 18, 20 hours a day, and I was just like a banshee out there trying to get this information, and that's when I was trying to do everything myself. I can recall one contract I had with a client that they were paying me $5,000 a month to do some marketing for them, and the mistake that I made was doing all the work myself. I actually started losing money, and I started losing sleep because I was so unsure of who I could hire or that I should hire anybody. And now when I get contracts, what I do is I figure in what is it going to cost for all the resources I mm-hmm. need in order to deliver to my client. And I put that in the proposal fee. Now, the thing I've also learned is to know what my value is. I had a contract a few years ago where the meeting planner that I presented the proposal to she said, I can't afford what you've got in this bid, and so I'm going to cut it by 60%. And rather than me knowing what my value was, I was in a place of fear because money was kind of tight, and I thought, oh, if I don't take this contract, nothing else is going to come along. And I've since then learned that there's always more that will come along. And oftentimes by walking away from a contract, I create the space for something better to come along. But instead of doing that, I let her cut the fee. I let her cut the time from about a three-month project to a three-week project, and it turned out to be an absolute nightmare. So what I've learned is to identify what my value is, what I bring to the table for the client, what the return for them will be. I've learned how to identify the benefits that they're going to get and not to underprice myself. I've also learned that there are times I need to walk away because I'm just not the right fit. In years past, and I'm sure people on the call can relate to this, I've signed contracts for things that I knew I could do it, but it really wasn't either my passion and it really wasn't my strongest area of expertise. But I did it anyway because I thought that that was the only money that was going to be there right then and there. And what I have found is way that I've monetized my business in a really nice way is to know where my strengths lie, know what I'm really an expert at, know where my passion is, and knowing who's a good fit for me. I was having a conversation with a gentleman yesterday who we'll probably be doing some business together. And there were a few things he said that I thought, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be a good fit for him because we might have some core values that really conflict with each other. So what I did is I asked a few more questions. I said, just for clarification, what did you mean by this? And he explained it. I said, okay, great. And then I asked him another question. What did you mean by this? And by the time we got through with the conversation, I realized that the terminology he used, he had one definition for, and I had a completely different definition. And yet, we were actually both speaking the same language, but with different terminology. And so by exploring a little bit further, I found out, yes, he could be a good fit. And often what I find is by exploring further, I find that I'm not the best fit for somebody. And it's being willing to walk away and also having the resources that I can recommend to somebody if I'm not the best fit.
That's great advice, and I'm just thinking back on what you said in answer to that question, and really, I think a lot of it is knowing that it's not about money. It's not always
right.
about money, and I know there are a lot of people in business who think that it is, but when you're working within your passion and you're doing what comes naturally to you, you should be able to make money at that, and it sounds to me like the few examples of the time that you made the mistake was when you weren't sure about it in the first place. So I really think, you know, but you were in a position where like, oh, I could really use this money right now. So I really think we
right.
need to go with our gut and you know, make decisions based on that. Does that make sense?
And yes, you know, it really makes a lot of sense. And to realize it's a process because, you know, I can speak from one perspective today because I've got money in the bank. You know, I got that security blanket that I've created over the years where there was a period in my life. I didn't have that. So maybe my view at that time was different, but it was growing into that belief. So it really is a process of us getting to the point where we know what our area of expertise is, what we're willing to accept in business, and what we're willing to walk away from. And it's also, for me, I believe that the more I'm in my passion, the better I am at what I do, and the better I am at what I do, the more successful my clients are, the more successful they are, the more people they're going to tell, and they're going to send these people to me. So it's kind of a circle that we go through.
Sure. Okay, how about sharing with us three no-cost strategies to market our businesses and gain visibility online?
Okay, one would be... I was actually thinking about this earlier today. What are some of the ways that I've actually been able to market my business and not have to put a lot of money out? One would be through affiliate campaigns, that if you have products and services that other people can sell for you, that they get paid on performance. And it's very common in the world of internet marketing with information products that people set up campaigns where... Let's say I have an ebook that sells for $30. I set it up where anybody who's an affiliate of mine and they sell it and they have all the codes in place where they use a unique selling or unique URL, they will get up to 50 or 60% of that sale. And I've had people say, now why would you give that much away to somebody who's selling your product? Because there's no cost in delivery. And without them, I wouldn't have found that client. Now, the beauty is once I find that client through them, then I have other opportunities to sell them other things mm-hmm. besides the ebook. So that's one way is to tap into other people's markets through affiliate campaigns. Another way would be through joint venture campaigns. I've done, hundreds of joint venture campaigns where I have a bonus product that I contribute to a campaign. I help to market the book or the product or the service for the primary person who is coordinating this project. And there might be 10, 20, 30 other people who are doing the same thing for the same campaign. So what's happening is all of us are marketing this particular item, but we're all getting exposure to each other's markets. And I've been involved in campaigns with as few as maybe 1,000 people seeing my message and as much as over 1 million people, potential eyes looking at my message. And it's a phenomenal way to market your business and get massive visibility without spending any money. Now, you will spend time. And the thing is, again, it's about positioning yourself so that people know that you're an expert and they trust what you have to offer is going to be valuable. Another way would be through media releases. Another way would be through articles, the web radio interviews. Those are all ways that you can market your business and get a lot of visibility.
Very good. And, you know, I was just at a Boomer Summit yesterday in Washington, D.C., where a lot of the talk was around Boomer entrepreneurs. And there was a gal there getting ready to market an event in her city. And it was like a conference for baby boomers to come and buy products and, you know, just kind of mull around and see what's the latest with baby boomers. And she wanted to know how to market this online, and basically the answer was that she wanted to go and advertise on huge baby boomer sites that are all around the country. And quite frankly, it's a brand new, first time ever event, and so are people likely to pay to travel to do all of that just to go to this free, open to the public? And I don't mean to downplay this, you know, this gathering. But I think we need to be smart, because really the answer we came up with was you really shouldn't be advertising on these big sites for baby boomers,
right.
You know, unless you want the speakers and, you know, that type of thing. But you should be marketing it on Craigslist and local sites that have to do with the vault, you know, like the business bureaus in that area, newspapers in that area, and just more local sites. So sometimes I think people think too big and when it comes to the Internet.
Yes, I'm in total agreement. I actually, when I was living in Salt Lake City a couple of years ago, I was there for 15 years, and I did a lot of live events in the Salt Lake market, and this was, I was involved in the Internet, but not to the degree I am now. I was always doing presentations. And when I moved up to Eugene, I thought, okay, I should be doing that again. And this was before I really delved deeply into the Internet. And now the majority of my money comes from what I do on the Internet. Well, I tried to get some speaking engagements with chambers, and basically I was told no. And it's like, what? And I said, well, I'm a professional speaker, and I'll do it for free because I just want the visibility, and I think your members would like it, a best-selling author. And, I mean, I tried to give every benefit, and they were like, no, you have to be a member of this chamber. And I thought, well, this is rude, and got my feelings hurt for a little while. And then I thought, okay, if they won't let me play in their arena, I'm going to create my own arena. And what I did, and I had people saying, oh, nobody comes to events in Eugene, Oregon. It just doesn't happen. You'll be lucky if you get 10 people because nobody I know has ever succeeded at this. And I thought, okay, that's a good challenge for me because I always like a good challenge. And I applied every strategy you just talked about as far as I posted it on Craigslist. I sent out local media releases. I talked to some people locally who had an email distribution list, mm-hmm. and I created benefit for them to help promote the event. I'm trying to think of some of the other things I did. I went on to MySpace, and I did a search on Eugene, the Eugene area, and we actually went and made personal invitations to people who had a profile that looked like it would be a good match for what I was presenting on. Well, lo and behold, I put on this event, and I had over 100 people who showed up, and other people were like, wow, how'd you do that? It was very targeted marketing within the local market. So, yes, you can take something and you can scale it down to your local market, and you can use the Internet to do it, or you can do it globally. But until you know really if there's an interest, and one way to find out if there's an interest is host a free teleseminar on a topic that you think people would pay for and promote it to the hilt. Go into Craigslist. Go into do the media releases. Do everything that you can to get the word out. And based on the response that you get, you will know whether or not there's an interest. Recently, I did a joint venture with the blogs by Patsy and Denise, and we decided we were going to see if my expertise and their expertise combined would attract a market. And we actually came up with this idea when we met at a conference in Los Angeles. Over dinner, we were talking about it, and it's like, wouldn't that be exciting to do something together? And we had known each other on the internet for a while. We did a free teleseminar. We had over 700 people who signed up for the teleseminar, and we said, woohoo, we've got something here. So you can use the free things to determine, is there really an interest in what you're doing? But the thing is you have to market it in a way that people know that you're hosting this.
That's right. And I think a lot of people launching sites need to really consider what is the best way to go about marketing. And I know while this isn't about marketing, it's about making money on the internet. You just have to be smart and really think. And if you're not sure how to go about something, you need to, it comes back to being coached and talking with the experts and paying to cut your learning curve so you can learn how to better do things for whatever type of site you have.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Well, and part of may I add one thing to that?
Yeah, go ahead, sure.
Part of the marketing, or part of the making money on the internet, making money through your websites, is your marketing. If you don't have a good marketing plan in place, you're not going to make money. And actually, I'm giving myself a challenge that I'm going to prove to myself that what I say is true really is true. I'm launching a blog in a few days called Daily Awareness. It's going to be a spiritual blog. It's going to be very different than my marketing blog and my marketing website and all the marketing stuff that I do. But I have a very deep spiritual connection with my higher power. You know, it goes into some deep, deep stuff. And I decided, it's about time I really start writing about that stuff and put it out for those people who want to read it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to use every internet marketing strategy that I teach people and that I use for my own business currently to actually market the blog, build a list, and eventually be able to sell products and services to these people. And a lot of the products will be affiliate campaigns that I get involved with. It might be my own products. And I've set a financial goal of what I want to make in the first year once I launch that site, which means I've got to have a laser beam approach. And it means I'm starting from the ground up with that particular blog, not with my knowledge, but with the blog. So it's basically you take the formula and you can transfer it into other markets and other products and other services.
When do you sleep, Kathleen?
Oh, you know, I do, and I sleep very well at night.
I bet you do.
But, you know, I have to tell you, let me share with you one of the things that helps me to be more productive. I actually take quiet time, and I actually get myself really grounded, and I find that when I take that quiet time, I'm much more productive because I have a clear head. If I try to force things, and I'm sitting at my computer, and it's like, oh, got to make it happen, that's the time I need to go take a walk with my dog and just, you know, breathe the fresh air and then come back and work on whatever I'm working on.
Well, we certainly share that in common because each morning I do a quiet prayer time, and I reflect on the day before, whether it's personal or professional, and then consider what's taking place that day. And I just, it's something I committed to several years ago, and I'm telling you, it's life-changing. But that's a topic for another teleseminar.
Have to do another one.
Yeah. One last question before we take a couple questions, and that is, how can you make thousands of dollars by hosting free teleseminars? Just tell, if you can kind of just walk us through that very quickly.
Be glad to. And I will actually share with you that when Patsy and Denise and I did our free teleseminar, we had a four-week mentoring course that we were introducing to the market. And in the first 24 hours, people would pay $199 for this, which was an absolute bargain because of the amount of information they were going to get. After that, it was $297, went up to $397, and then $497 leading up to the day of the launch. What we did is we had a very content-filled teleseminar. We marketed it to the hilt. I mean, to get 700 people, you know that we had to be doing our homework. We had these people come on. We had the content that we were going to deliver, and we had the close script it out. And I will tell you that a lot of times why people won't make money in on their website, in their teleseminars, in their sales calls, is they have not practiced their close, or they don't ask for the close. So what we did is we had about probably 45 or 50 minutes of information. We had 10 to 15 minutes of talking about the program that we were going to deliver, inviting people to join in, and within 24 hours, we sold $14,000 worth of seats. By the time we got to the teleseminar, it was closer to $20,000, and that was with no out-of-pocket expense. Actually, I have to correct myself. I think I spent $30, and they spent $50 to market that. And so it was almost 100% profit margin. Now, there was time involved in developing the curriculum. But the whole idea was we gave such incredibly valuable information in the free teleseminar. I'm not one of those that I sit there and say, okay, this is what you need to do, but I'm not going to tell you any of the how. In my free ones, I give some of the how, but I leave most of the how for when they're going to pay for it. But I give information so that when people walk away, they say, time well invested. Even if they don't buy anything, doesn't matter to me. I need to know in that half hour, that hour, whatever length of time we're sharing together, they're going to feel like they invested wisely, whether it be their money, their time, or their energy. So basically, you have to plan what you're going to sell. You have to be prepared to ask for the sale. Then you have to have your systems in place. This goes back to systems, that you have to have your autoresponders up, your shopping cart up, your landing pages written. And I'll tell you what, there's work that goes into this. Once you get the system, though, it's pretty easy.
That's right. And then so, you can repeat that system with every upcoming teleseminar that comes
It's along. A beautiful thing. It's right. A beautiful, beautiful thing.
Okay. So, yes. So why don't we see if we have any questions. Why don't you repeat your websites again, just so people can find you online, and then we'll see if anybody has any questions.
Okay. The website that I would invite people to go to would be Street Smarts, and that's with an S, streetsmartsmarketing.com. Or you can go to my new blog, themarketingmindset.com, and be looking for my other new blog, dailyawareness.com.
Okay. Okay, does anybody have a question? If you push the six button to mute, you'll, of course, have to push it again so we can hear you. And if you haven't pushed it, then go ahead and speak up. Any questions? I'm very surprised. I heard we have a lot of shy people. Yeah, I heard lots of people coming on the call, so I thought for sure that we would have some questions.
I would love to get some questions. I love the just answering whatever people's concerns or curiosities are. So please take advantage of this moment to ask me whatever. You can ask me what kind of dogs I have, what kind of horses I have. I'd be glad to share that with you. I actually have a boxer dog and another one. We don't know what this guy is, but.
Okay, does anybody want to speak up and just ask a question?
I will.
Okay, sure, go ahead.
Your voice to Kathleen, it's Ed. Hi.
Hey, Ed, how are you?
Okay, thank you. The question I want to ask is, whenever you go to a forum, for example, a website or anything, how do you find out numbers of people in the audience, so to speak? How do you find out whether you're speaking to a small or large forum, whether it's really worth your while versus going elsewhere?
Okay. If I understand the question correctly, it would be forums that are specific to your market, and yes, you can post things on the forum?
Exactly.
Okay, oftentimes you can notice, and I, you know, Dotsie, you may be a better person to answer this than me, but what I do is I look for the kind of postings that are taking place and see if it's just frivolous stuff that people put up, because I don't want to spend my time there, or if it's really valuable information. And for those people on the call, if you're not a member of Dotsie's group, I would highly recommend that you become a member. I've been a member, what, for 2 years now, Dotsie?
Yeah.
I don't even know how long I've been a member. And it's just so valuable to me. I've met some incredible people. But what I do is I look at the postings, and you can see the number of views most of the time, the number of views on a posting. Now, if I see two or three views, And that's the only number I'm seeing on all the postings. I know that there's not a lot of activity. If I see 100, 200, 500, 1,000, 2,000, 10,000, I'll tell you what, that's probably going to be a great forum for me to get involved with. Now, the challenge will be is getting through the noise and getting through the crowd, if you will. And that's where you want to contribute valuable information. One of the things that can be a real turnoff is if somebody comes in and they start spouting ideas and recommendations to people who haven't asked for it. But if you see a conversation going on where you know that you might have some valuable information to contribute, that would be the time to respond. One of the number one rules in forum conversations is don't slam people, and I've seen people do it, and it's a real turnoff because we're all there to learn. I mean, I go into forums for a few reasons. One is to network. Another reason is I'm there to learn things, and I'm also there to share my expertise. So looking at the numbers of replies, Ed, would be a good way to see if it's a high-traffic forum.
Yeah, and you know,
and
I can respond a little to that too, because not only number of replies, but number of views. Because in our forum community, oftentimes you might see 9, 15, 20 replies, but if you look at the number of views, the number of people who have actually looked at that page, it may be 100, 120, 75, something like that, just depending upon the topic. Because a lot of people browse forums and lurk. And we know that for a fact. You should also be able to see the number of people in the forum community. In a lot of the forums, that information is offered, how long the site has been up, which I think is also, you know, another important piece. But I will tell you, Ed, something that is frowned upon, especially in our forum communities and in most forum communities, is almost a spam type of comment where, you know, what you have to understand is these communities are just that. They are communities, and they're places where people go day in and day out and communicate with one another, and just depending upon the topic. So when someone kind of barges in and says, you know, here I am, and here's my website, and I'm great, visit me, it is not, if you're there just to promote yourself, and not for the good of the community as a whole, you really need to consider that, because you will not get the responses that you could if you play nicely. So I just thought I would mention that.
Yeah, can I ask you something about that?
Sure.
I want to ask if exactly that reference. If I were to make a constructive write-on comment and then slip in author of, is that permitted or is that also frowned on?
Well, usually you do some type of introduction, and then you can just respond to the, like, other forums. Like, you know, there's the big forum, and then there's all the different topics. So it's good if you become involved in several of the topics that don't, that pertain to many things and not just what you're promoting, so that you're offering information for the community, for the good of the community, and not just for the good of yourself. Do you understand what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
And another thing, something that I know with some forums, it's acceptable to put what's called a SIG file, where you can actually put a little something about yourself that shows up when you do a posting. And it's a low-key way to promote what you do. So, you know, and actually what I did mean is the views, because it's the one on the far right, Dotsy, that you look at those numbers and that's how many views
you
get?
All forums are different. Yeah, I mean, you know,
okay.
All different software. So it just depends on the forum community that you're in.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I like what you said about being a contributing member, because it is really about building relationships. And the thing that I also know is you don't want to share too much too soon about who you are, because, you know, there's people in there that they're lurking for different reasons. But in most communities, you'll find some wonderful people that you can find potential joint venture partners. You find lifelong friends. I've met people on the Internet, like Patsy and Denise. We knew each other for a few years before we finally met face-to-face, and what a thrill it is. And I can't wait to meet you, Dotsy, face-to-face. I mean,
someday.
These are people, you know them really well, but you've never seen them.
Yeah, actually, so. We're getting ready to meet a bunch of people face-to-face in Vegas from the forum communities at Boomer Women's Speak.
Awesome.
And these are people who've been corresponding for 2 and 3 years, so it's really
exciting.
Oh, that's
exciting. Great.
Yeah. But, you know, the other thing about the forums that you have to remember is that you can have a signature in most of them, which is what you mentioned. And then you can also include, like, a link to your website. So if you go in and you comment on something that pertains to your area of interest, it becomes obvious that you may be an expert or that you know something about that that topic by just looking at your web address that is in there, you know what I'm saying, or whatever you put in your signature. So there are nice ways to play in forum community, and but it's important to not just visit the forum, you know, once a month or something. If you really want to get to know the people and it's a forum that pertains to what your area of expertise is, you should become involved in it because there are definitely benefits to that. So okay, any other questions? Because we're really running out of time.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I have four. Do you?
I you know, I do, and this has been such a thrill.
Well,
this
good.
Has really been. I was so looking forward to this, and I appreciate the time people took out of their days to be on this this call. So.
Sure. And for those who are on the call, I just want to mention that we also do PDF files of our calls, and we also send audio files. So a lot of these teleseminars are listened to or read at a later date by our members. So if you're interested in joining, one of the beauties of membership of the NABBW is that you get to see our library of teleseminars that we've been doing for almost 2 years now, and they're all archived for free if you're a member. So and they pertain to all things Boomer Women, and not just business, but just a little bit of everything, because we really are interested in the whole woman. So the website for the association is nabbw.com, and the site where the forum community is, and unfortunately it's for women only, it's at boomerwomenspeak.com. So I think that about ties it up, right, Kathleen?
You know, I think it does, and thank you so much for inviting me to the teleseminar today. It's been a thrill, and again, thank you to everybody who's been on the call.
Yeah, and Kathleen, don't forget to mention the coaching that you do. So if anybody's interested in connecting with Kathleen about learning more, please visit her at her site.
Right. And,
okay.
And I have my next 6-month course coming up in about a month.
Very good. And you know what? We'll be
all
advertising
right.
that in our newsletters, I'm sure. So,
fantastic.
Okay, thanks so much, and we'll be in touch. Have a great day, everybody.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye.